8:14, Carl and Ellick with you right here, and thank you, Bobby Rader, for the sports report. And getting into the NBA postseason now, which is, I think, the longest postseason for sports in the world. Seems like it lasts about 2 months.
Really?
Yeah, just way long, way long.
Not a fan, I guess.
Not a big fan. I like to see it when it finally gets down to the very, very last series, you know, for all the marbles in the NBA. But otherwise, you know, how many games? Two months, you know.
Well, they got to work for all those millions, man.
I suppose so. Yeah. I suppose
Put them to work.
Tri-Cities Talk Radio, it's 8:14, joining us this morning from Premier Homes and Properties, which sponsors this portion of our program, Tyler Ramey. Good morning, Tyler. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Glad
to be here.
Yeah, glad you could come back this morning here.
Yeah.
You've already told the dirt on Bills, so
that's right.
We'll not mention that anymore.
He's living it up, but I'm glad that he has an opportunity to get away.
It's
going to be good for him.
Do you think he goes down there to the beach and goes, oh, well, that's a nice-looking property. Let me write this one off.
I think that whenever real estate agents do anything outside of this place, we try to disconnect as much as humanly possible from
there. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we put our blinders on and just go to the beach and lay there in silence for a couple days.
Everybody needs that getaway, and
Absolutely.
Just get away from all of it, too, no doubt about it. Well, Tyler, you've joined us a couple of times in the past here, too. Real estate in Northeast Tennessee right now, whether you're a buyer or a seller, as Bill tells us each week, and as we know from hearing the headlines, things are kind of turbulent right now. How are you finding folks who normally would want to go ahead and put their market on their house on the market? How are they responding right now to all the different sorts of things that are happening in the news from your perspective? Are they ready to put it on the market, or are they holding back now?
Well, we're seeing a little bit of everything. So we are still in an extreme seller's market locally here in the Tri-Cities.
Good.
So it's a really good time to be a seller.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a challenge to be a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean it's not doable.
Right.
But it is more difficult to be a buyer right now. So what we're seeing is just a lot of maybe frustrated buyers that just can't get an offer accepted. Or maybe have a circumstance or a situation going on where it's a little bit tougher to get them in a house.
Yeah. What kind of offers are being rejected?
Right now, anything that's not over the asking price, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're typically seeing out there offers that are over asking, offers that are completely waiving inspections, repairs. It's crazy.
What sort of a percentage of overage are we talking about? 1%, 2% in terms of the total price of something, or what?
I think it probably depends on a house. I've had clients in a $200,000 price range right now, and we can't get anything accepted offering $230.
Wow,
upwards of $230.
Gracious.
So we keep getting beaten and beaten and beaten, and I have to keep them laughing and try to keep them keeping on, so they don't get frustrated. It's tough.
Do you ever have people that just sight unseen make an offer and then give the earnest money, and then they look at it and go, you know what? No, I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah, we're seeing that a lot lately
with
people who are coming out of town and just offering on things
sight
unseen.
Get it now.
That's
just,
right.
Yeah.
I don't recommend that.
Right.
I also don't want to be the eyes and ears for my clients. I want to physically be with them in the house. This is their decision. Sometimes it's the most important financial decision of these people's lives.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to see it, because you can get a whole different idea of a house in reality versus what you may see online in pictures.
Yeah.
For sure.
I call them cowboys, these outside the market investors that come in and just start throwing money around trying to buy houses. Are we seeing a lot of that here?
That is happening. I think what's happened here in the past 3 years is that a lot of people are now working from home.
Yeah.
And so they are coming from these big cities and getting lots of money for their house and paying some crazy prices for houses here.
Yeah.
Because to them, it's a deal.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they have the cash, and cash tends to be the king. And so that's always going to win out, even over the conventional loans. So it can be frustrating, but it's definitely still attainable. We're still out there buying and selling houses every day.
What's the go-to gift from the realtor to the clients who finally got an accepted offer and they close on it? Do you guys have like a go-to? Here's a bottle of champagne. Here's some flowers.
Here's a savings bond.
Yeah.
I think mostly crying on the floor of the title company.
It's like, woo!
We did it. We're all just like crying tears of joy. No, I like to try to get a personalized gift for my clients at the end, whether that be like a really nice cutting board with their initials in
there.
Or a canvas of their home, a picture of their home.
Yeah.
There's also some people here in our area that do some beautiful couple watercolor paintings of houses for people. So that's a really nice gift.
I remember
something
back
special.
In the day. Do you remember back in the day it's like an aerial shot of the house and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Used to you had to rent a plane who did it, and it was just exorbitant amount of money.
Sure.
Now with the drones, it's not that big a deal. Yeah,
take a quick snapshot.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, that's a celebration for sure. Getting to the title company and trading out the keys.
Yeah,
that's a momentous occasion for sure.
Thinking Out Loud with Tyler Ramey from Premier Homes and Properties. With the prices and the overages being offered or demanded by sellers right now that you were talking about, are banks still in a position to want to go ahead and lend money to potential prospects even though these inflated values are being asked?
They are. So an important step in this process is the appraisal from the bank. So they're going to come in and deem it what they think it's worth. So that's always going to be an option.
Based on what criteria, though? Just the physical elements of what's there against, in other words, what's their metric? What's their standard?
So they measure it against houses that have sold in similar conditions, similar size, in a very close radius.
Right.
Recently.
Recently, yes.
Okay.
Ideally, very recently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so the local market does affect that, obviously. What's tough right now is when these people are offering 10, 20, 30, 40,000 over, it's tough for the appraiser to go out and say, okay, the house is worth this much.
That's what I wondered.
So then sometimes we run into a gap.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to kind of get creative in the beginning and go ahead and say, okay, if we get to the appraisal and there is a gap, my people will bring X amount of money. Sometimes can be attainable. Yeah.
Little
to the sellers.
We got you covered, brother. Yeah, yeah,
so that's some of that creative juggling, frankly, to get to an agreed upon point, right?
It is. And right now we have to be very creative.
I would think.
Very creative.
Yeah. You're talking about some upset people. My wife and I, we were trying to sell our house in North Carolina, and there was a house across the street, basically a mirror image of ours, but it obviously had, you know, years of neglect and stuff like that. And they lowballed and got, like, immediately sold it.
Hmm.
And we were like, oh, no, that's going to tank our, thing.
Right.
Trying to
property
get
property value. Yeah.
Didn't mess with it at all.
That's interesting.
I was so happy.
Yes, that's good. Because you see that and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But I see what some of the houses that are selling just around me are, and I'm thinking, wow, this is great for me.
Yeah.
But I deal with it all the time, so I'm not moving anytime soon.
Yeah.
What determines the I'm not sure exactly how to phrase it. The value of, it slipped me, the specific I wanted to ask you about right now. But in talking to folks who are ready to buy, particularly millennials, getting into the market for the first time, this is just making it much harder for first-time buyers, I would think, right? This current set of situation?
It is. That's why it's important in the very beginning to be super realistic about what we're looking for.
Uh-huh.
So I love to sit down with them and just get a good rough idea. Okay, what's your price point? What's your location? What do you have to have? And then to make sure, let's say 200 is their max. Well, we need to be looking probably at 150 houses because we're probably going to have to go up and beyond that asking price.
Yeah.
I don't want to show them a $200,000 house and then not be able to go over and we don't
out
get
of their
it.
Range. Yeah.
Yes. And so what can happen is fatigue can set in after 3, 4, five, six offers get rejected and they say, you know what? We're just going to keep on renting for a while.
Yeah.
So I think realistic expectations in the beginning and just setting those is what's helpful and getting pre-approved. Talking to that lender.
Oh, sure.
And knowing what you're approved for is an important step, number one, before you even chat to a realtor.
Yeah, okay, exactly. In other words, go ahead, go to your financial institution, lay down before them your capabilities, your qualities, and what your abilities are in order to be able to support a buying of a home, and they'll tell you basically where you could fit in there. Am I right?
Right, that's right. They'll give you a really close range.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the guesswork out. And I would much rather have somebody come to me that's already pre-approved. That way we know exactly what they need to be looking
for.
Sure.
Saves everybody a whole bunch of problems and no disappointments that way, too.
That's right.
Again, to first-time home buyers, though, maybe, you know, in the past 5 years, they've been saving up to try to get down enough for a down payment for a home. But suddenly here comes the pandemic and everything is thrown out of whack. You know, you've got the pandemic, you've got the interest rates going along with it. Now suddenly you've got supply chain issues in terms of being able to do anything to build, let alone equip a home.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be daunting, I would think. Have you found, you mentioned sort of a fatigue that sets in after four or five refusals of offers. Have you found that maybe millennials in particular, first-time home buyers, are having a tougher time of it right now?
I think they are, and I know a lot of people struggle and think, oh, I have to have X percent down before I can even start looking for a house.
Right.
A lot of the lenders out there right now are offering first-time homebuyer assistant programs where they will...
What kind of program? I'm sorry.
Like a first-time homebuyer assistance.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they'll go ahead and fund 100% of the purchase price where they're not having to bring anything to the table.
Wow.
Yeah. So the interest rate may be a little bit higher on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make up for that. But then again, you're not having to bring it up to the table.
The one thing about that I'm finding that, you know, the first time I sold a house, I made nothing on it. I just wanted to get out from underneath it. Believe it or not, second time, did the same thing. Didn't make any money. And then the third time I sold a house, actually made some money. I was like, well, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
And same thing with the last house we sold. We made a little bit of money. It's one of those things where you take that money and you put it towards your next house, but the percentage rate is such a big deal mm-hmm. because my last house in Fayetteville, North Carolina, we had like a 5.5% rate. And the difference between the 3.5 and the 5.5, $230,000 house, we're paying about the same a month that we were that $106,000 house in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. And to have somebody like yourself and Premier Homes and Properties to be able to go, okay, well, here's what you're going to get is like a real, you know, helpful thing.
Right. Yeah. Interest rates make a huge difference. That's why I always encourage people, even if they're first-time home buyers, they may have to get a little bit higher interest rate initially.
Right.
But then once they've got a couple, 3 years under their belt of good credit history and paying that home loan, I always tell them to go ahead and refinance or just look at their options for refinance because it can save them a ton of money over time.
Do you find people are staying longer in their homes now, Tyler, because of the situations of the past several years?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I have people right now who I could list their house tomorrow, mm-hmm. but we don't have anywhere to put them right now.
Yeah.
So they're holding off. We are seeing a little bit of uptick in the local inventory. So we're getting a few more homes. We're still not having enough homes to put everybody in, but the inventory is perking up a little bit. So
that's good.
That's a good sign on the horizon.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a good thing to hear. Tyler Ramey joining us from Premier Homes and Properties this week. We certainly glad to see you again here.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Don't be a stranger. Come back and talk to us, okay?
Maybe Bill will be in Vegas next week.
Well, we can only hope.
All right.
Thank you.